Listening Library presents A Copycat Conundrum, The Misfits by Lisa Yi, read for you by Cindy Kay. This book is dedicated to Jody Reamer, who is a super secret agent, and to no one else. The last time I dedicated a book to her, it was also dedicated to Dan Santad, illustrator of The Misfits, and to Sarah, my red plastic dinosaur. Prologue. Oof. It felt like a lifetime ago that Olive was abandoned on mysterious Foggy Island with its strange reforming art school for the artistically adventurous. Then the weirdest thing happened. Well, okay, lots of weird things happened. But when they were smushed together, Olive found herself loving her new school. And what about those four awkward kids she was assigned to be in class with? Turns out that as a group, they made up the Misfits, an elite, super-secret crime-fighting team carefully selected by the ultra-covert agency known as NOC, or No One Can Know. Despite a shaky start, the experiment of recruiting perfectly ordinary, yet surprisingly extraordinary, crime-fighting kids was a rousing success. The team members were 1. Olive's best friend, Philomena. Call me Phil. A tech wizard, a weapons accessories inventor, and the misfit in charge of Command Central. 2. Iggy, who had some attitude issues but was great at math and could pick any lock or fight with ease. 3. James, a certified genius who tended to follow the rules, except when he didn't. 4. Theo, the tallest and calmest of the bunch, who was good at making people like him and was fascinated with natural disasters. 5. Then there was Olive. Trained by her grandmother in acrobatics, Olive was known to bend the rules and even break them when necessary, or when it seemed like it might be fun. All 5 had done exceedingly well at their conundrum, a complicated assessment of their dexterity, abilities, and quirks. Against all odds, these wildly dissimilar misfits fit together as perfectly as a puzzle, complementing each other's talents, skills, and personalities. At first, Olive thought there was no way she could live with her classmates. Now, she knew there was no way she could live without them. But for the moment, it was time to celebrate. And Olive didn't think she'd ever had so much fun. The misfits had thwarted a heist, recovered the world's most expensive necklace, the Royal Rumpus, and then stopped Rash, their beloved boarding school, from being shut down. Not bad for a group of dorky underdogs. Dinner in the Rash dining hall was delightful and uproarious. At their table of misfits, biscuits were flung, along with playful insults and sincere compliments. A few happy tears were shed, too, though no one would admit to crying. Instead, they blamed allergies and or the spicy jalapeno salsa that gave the cheese enchiladas that extra oomph. When everyone was exhausted, Iggy, James, Theo, and Phil linked arms and headed back to Pod 101's dorm in a secluded wing of Foggy Manor. Though it was edging toward bedtime, Olive lagged behind. "See you in a bit," she called out to her friends. "I'm going for a walk." They all nodded, knowing that she needed to be alone. But what they weren't aware of was that Olive Coben Zhang harbored a secret, and it was only a matter of time before the Misfits' world turned upside down. 1. Beware. Outside, the night air was crisp, and the island was quiet, except for the melodic sounds of the waves lapping the shore. Olive had a bounce in her step as she headed toward the once-threatening Do Not Trespass warning, which now read, Donut Trespass. The sign had been edited by Rash art students from a generation or two earlier and featured a drawing of dancing donuts. Yet, however silly the notice looked, school staff and students were still convinced that the Donut Trespass area was anything but that. Olive took in her surroundings, undaunted by the rumors about pockets of perilous quicksand, packs of sharp-fanged wild boars, and fearsome fog that could swallow you whole. With all the terrifying tales, It was no wonder that hardly anyone ventured beyond the donut trespass fence at the back of Foggy Island. On most days, once the San Francisco fog cleared, one could drink in the beauty of Rash's buildings while approaching Foggy Island from the bay. When she'd first arrived, Olive had been quick to fall in love with the school's quaint brick cottages, extravagant gardens, and magnificent mansion that was the size of a mini mall. Yet the rear of the island was the mirror opposite. The area was dark and foreboding, and when the wind blew, it sounded like a warning. Olive loved the rumors. Threats of danger didn't faze her in the least as she slipped easily under the tarnished chain-link fence. She said hello to the Swan family that was taking a nighttime swim along the narrow moat. As she strolled among the rusted machinery, mountains of bricks, and overgrown shrubbery, Olive heard a familiar rustle. Immediately, she retrieved her nose clamp and Foggy Gog's goggles from her fanny pack. They were good for thwarting powerful scents, seeing through fog, and keeping one's allergies at bay. After her much-discussed sneezing while saving cats during their last mission, Phil had cataloged every misfit's allergies. Phil, pigweed. Iggy, coconut. Theo, none. James, lilacs and spotted lizards. Olive, cats. Yet not even allergies could stop Olive from coming to visit the fluffy, butterscotch-colored feline who had returned to Rash with the misfits after their recent mission. From a nearby bush, Queenie poked her head out and mewed. "Well, hello to you too," Olive said, scooping her up for a hug. Less than a week earlier, Olive had hung upside down from a helicopter to save Queenie, as well as her collar, which carried a priceless diamond from the famous Royal Rumpus necklace. Cradling her friend, Olive breathed a heavy sigh as she recalled the mind-boggling news she'd learned earlier that day. Apparently, her recently departed grandmother wasn't dead, as Olive had been led to believe. Rather, Mimi was a high-ranking NOC special agent, codename The Mouse, who was very much alive. And if that wasn't discombobulating enough, Olive had learned this from her rather boring parents, who also weren't who they said they were. Dr. Coben Zhang and Dr. Zhang Coben, Olive's mom and dad, were undercover NOC agents just like her, putting Olive squarely in the middle of a secret operative family. It was kind of a lot to think about, and it was getting late. The crescent moon cut through the darkness, shining a spotlight on Foggy Island. Olive could see the lights of San Francisco winking at her from across the bay. In the distance, a laser light show from the city's famed Coit Tower shone columns of colored lights into the sky, like rainbows standing upright. Where were her parents now, Olive wondered. They'd only left Rash earlier that day. Could they see the lights too? Where was Mimi? Suddenly, the hairs on the back of Olive's neck began to prickle as she felt Queenie stiffen in her arms. Olive started to slow, listening carefully to a soft, crunching sound that wasn't quite in sync with Olive's own footsteps. When she stopped walking, the crunching stopped as well. Olive's heart was thudding so loud she feared it was echoing all over the island. She was being followed. 2. From the Shadows. Some people can sit next to a family of four who are all munching on barbecue potato chips and not hear a thing. Others can tune into a person on the far side of the room nibbling on a marshmallow. Olive's hearing was in the marshmallow category, so when a nearby twig snapped, her ears pricked up instantly, as did Queenie's. Like synchronized swimmers, they both turned toward the sound. Olive was prepared to toss Queenie, knowing that the feline would land on all four paws and run to safety. Cat-free, Olive would be able to face and fight whatever was after her. She was about to activate her ComCharm, the retainer-like device that the misfits used to communicate with each other, when she heard a familiar voice. "Don't be scared, Olive." From the shadows, her friend Zeke stepped into the moonlight, holding his hands up as if surrendering. Queenie relaxed and let out a stream of soft, melodic purrs. Zeke brought his finger up to his lips as he looked around nervously. "I'm in danger, and I need your help," he whispered. They're after me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?